In this episode, I talk with the venerable, the esteemed Sportsbook Tom about sports betting basics and tips to betting on the Super Bowl. Here we go. Everyone, welcome to the show. I'm Adam, your host, and we are days away from one of the biggest betting events of the year, and I have a favorite guest of mine on, Sportsbook Tom. Tom is the founder of the Vegas Parlay, a great resource for Vegas-loving sports betting fans, and my first and final stop every football Sunday for some free, transparent picks, which is kind of an oddity in the sports betting world, and we talk about that a little bit. This chat was actually live on what is called the Red Chip Travelers Discord server. Server is what it's called. That's kind of a foreign language to some people. That's okay. Basically, what it is think of it like a forum where like-minded people who are into gambling, maybe travel, points and miles, can talk freely, if you will. Not too freely. All right, I got to moderate it somewhat. But, you know, just have conversations, ask questions. And for me, the most useful part and the reason I really wanted to start it was so that we had an outlet for these live discussions, right? So when I have a guest on the show, we can talk live and there can be people listening live and be asking questions. So thanks to those of you who hung out in the Discord while Tom and I were talking. If you'd like to join, there is a link in the show notes to do so. Okay, let's get to my chat with Tom. It was kind of wide ranging. We talk about just approaching sports betting, how to make a bet, how to read the lines, how to actually approach the counter and say the bet that you want. Because it can be kind of intimidating for people, especially for a first time. So we also talk just a little bit about Vegas, sportsbooks in Vegas. Just a wide-ranging interview here. So enjoy. So one thing I was looking at, I think something that is really tough for people who are trying to get into sports betting, never made a bet before, in the book, especially, is that, you know, you look at that big board, right? And the latest one I saw was like Circa, and it looks so intimidating with all those numbers. To a layman, it's like, what the heck am I even looking at? And I know there's a lot of, I mean, there's so many apps out right now. I think in Chicago, I've got access to like four different ones, but I don't know. I feel like you're like me a little bit, where you kind of like having that, just that physical ticket in your hand sometimes. It was just kind of like a fun thing. So I thought maybe we would take people through just kind of how to read a line. And then as we get through that, we're just going to go like left to right, very simple stuff. I'm going to ask you how you would go up to the counter and actually kind of make that bet. So sure. I'm looking at the image, the Circa image in the channel here. And so on the left side, I see... I don't even really know what to call it, actually. Is it like the betting numbers, you know, 101, 102, those kinds of things?
Yeah, they're referred to as rotation numbers.
Okay.
And all of the sports books have the same rotation numbers, which makes it good if, you know, just for consistency across different sports books.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. So that's nice. Yeah. So then, mm-hmm. Of course, we've got the team name. We've got, you know, the point, what do I call it? The spread, right. The circle line. And then the next one you have the, why am I blanking now? Right.
The money line?
The money line. Yeah. So I'm looking at the circle one. So we've got the point spread. Then we've got the total, excuse me. And then, yeah, you've got the money line right after that. So let's talk about just the spread really quick. So, you know, reading it, we've got the rotation number, we've got the team name. And then you've got the point spread. Good. We've got the total, and then we've got the money line. I think people understand the point spread, and the total, but you know, when we're looking at the money line here, is what are we kind of looking at? I think for a lot of people, it's, you know, you're seeing kind of maybe two arbitrary numbers,
right,
if you will.
Right. And the money line in many ways is a lot easier than a point spread bet. Mm-hmm. It's based solely on which team is going to win the game. So you're not worried about a team winning by six, by 3.5, 10.5. It's just basically a bet on who will win the game. Favorites are given a minus designation, and that could be minus 150, minus 200. To do the math easily, it's just on a basis of $100 or 100 points, however you want to do it. Mm-hmm. So let's say you like a team that's favored and you see that they're minus 150. You see this a lot, obviously, in baseball, hockey, but you also see it in football and basketball and the more popular betting sports. So let's say you see a team you really like. You think, oh, man, they'll win, but I don't want to mess with the point spread. I just want them to win. Minus 150, for example, you bet $150 to win 100. So, and let's not get confused, because I remember one person telling me once, why would I give the sportsbook $150 just to get $100 back? You get your bet back as well. So if you see a team that's minus 150, that means you have to bet $150 to win 100. So, you know, you're basically betting the favorite, and you're betting more to win a lower amount. And the opposite is true when you're betting an underdog. Let's say you see an underdog, you think they're going to win. The point spread on them is, let's say, plus 200. You bet $100, and that will give you a $200 profit. So just by points of 100. Now, you can do it by $10, $20. There's a little bit of math involved, but that's basically how it works. If you're betting a favorite, you will bet more to win less. If you're betting an underdog, you will bet less to win more.
Yeah, I like that. And I like your example there of making sure that you're just thinking about it in kind of easily kind of multipliable increments, right? You know, when you're doing the apps and stuff, it's going to do all that math for you, and you can definitely see the payout. But if you're at the book and, you know, you need to do some quick math, I think it's a good way.
Yeah. So, and you can always ask at the window. You know, I did it back in my very early days. Mm-hmm. If there was a game that was minus 180 or just, I don't know, minus 230, I say, you know, if I put $60 on this, what do I get back? And they'll punch it in and they'll let you know. I wouldn't mm-hmm. do that 5 minutes before kickoff on Super Bowl Sunday, but, you know, make sure there's not a long line and you can ask a few questions up there.
Right. Yeah. Like first day of March Madness, those kinds of things, you know, you want to.
Yeah. Not the time, you know, you want to be putting NASCAR futures when you got March Madness tipping off in a few minutes. So, yeah.
Right.
Pick your spots wisely when you're at the sports book.
And so another thing I want to ask you when we're looking, you know, just at the board here. So depending on where you go and what book you're looking at or what app you're looking at, you know, you'll see the point spread. And then underneath, you'll see a number as well, right? So a lot of times you're going to see minus 110. But for instance, I'm looking at FanDuel here in Illinois.
Yeah.
And so for my line, I've got, you know, Kansas City Chiefs minus 122, Tampa Bay plus 100. The point spreads at -3, +3, respectively. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do those numbers mean? And is that something we really need to be paying attention to?
It is, because basically what that is the juice, as they call it. When you hear someone say the VIG or the juice, or the line is juiced up, you know, the typical juice for a sports book is minus 110. So if you're betting a point spread, you're going to have to bet $110 to win 100. That's about 95% of the time, that's what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. But sometimes what sportsbooks will do is they'll have juice on the point spread as well. So let's say for Kansas City, not only are you betting on Kansas City to win by 3 because they're -3, mm-hmm. you're also a little bit in the hole on the juice, which is minus 122, I think you said?
Yeah.
On FanDuel. So mm-hmm. you have to bet $122 to win 100. So you're, you know, in actuality, you're getting punished a little bit for taking KC. And the sportsbooks will do that for different reasons. They'll do it so they can keep the action balanced a little bit without moving the spread around, which would possibly cause an imbalance, especially when you're dealing with the money that's coming in on a Super Bowl. There's different reasons that they do it, but it's always good to take a look. Because you can go to one sports book and, like, let's say bet the Chiefs at -3 and it's minus 110. But the next sports book will have it at -3 and it'll be minus 120. You know, you're giving up a little bit of more of a house edge to the sports book. So, you know, keeping that juice, quote unquote, at minus 110 is always what you need to be looking for.
Yeah, I like that. And so when, you know, you hear, you know, good sports bettors talk about line shopping. Is that kind of what you're looking for there? You're kind of looking at all the numbers across the board and trying to find, okay, based on what, you know, my betting patterns, what I like to do, I'm going to try and find the best price for my bet.
That's critically important, especially in high scoring sports like football and basketball. You can have one sports book that you can get a half point better. And I'll tell you how many times that half point has been critical in a football game or a basketball game. So it's very important to look at that. And, you know, with the juice as well, like we just discussed, hey, if you like Tampa and you can get Tampa plus three at plus juice, you're feeling pretty good about your bet, because not only are you getting points, you know, you're actually have a bit of an advantage with juice kind of in your favor instead of the sports books.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's really good stuff to look out for there. So let's say we're at the book, right? We're at a very calm time. It's not 5 minutes before kickoff. And correct. I just, you know, I want to go up and make my first bet in the book. I want to have that ticket in my hand. Let's say for this line, so we're going to bet the Chiefs, right? So it's on the circle one, that the example I have here. So the rotation number is 101. Right. Chiefs minus 3.5. Let's say I want to make a, you know, $110 bet. What would you go up and say at the counter to make that bet?
Simply, you go up and you say $110 on 101.
That's it.
And that basically means you just put money on the Chiefs.
Perfect. Yeah. Simple enough. Right. But I think sometimes it's, you know, people maybe, you know, want to say Chiefs or, but you know, they want to do the team name. They want to, you know, so what about if I'm making an over under, right? If I'm looking at the point total, is there a difference there?
There isn't. You can name any team, either of the two teams, if you're betting over or under. You just have to be very clear, obviously, if you're betting the over and under. Some people say if you're betting the over, take the team that's listed first or on top. You say that team first and you say over on that game. But whichever team you say, as long as you're clear that you want the over or under, they know what you're talking about.
Perfect. Awesome. That's great. That's great. I mean, and simple enough, right? We don't need to be intimidated when we go up.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And, you know, when I first started going, there was two reasons I was intimidated. One, because I was a beginner. This was 30 years ago. Number two, and we'll just keep this between you, me, and the folks listening. I wasn't 21 yet. So I had to take a deep breath and go up and just kind of hope that I wasn't asked for ID. I was close to 21, but not quite yet. But those were back in the more simpler times of Vegas, I guess, where carding wasn't too hardcore as it is now.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you typically tipping when you go up to the counter? Does that do anything for you besides give you some good karma?
I tip on two occasions typically. If I make a large number of bets, I will you know, just throw a few dollars at the ticket writer. Just tell them, hey, this is for luck. Thank you. If I'm going to be there for a while and I want a few beers, or I got a couple buddies with me who are betting as well, and we kind of want to have a community stack of free drink tickets if I'm at the sports book, I will make it very clear as I'm pushing money their way. I'm going to be here all day. Do you mind if I get a few drink tickets? Don't say one. Don't say two. Say a few or some, and typically that works as well. The other, I guess there's three occasions. If I hit pretty big or I get a good, make a good profit at the end of the day, I certainly will throw some money at the ticket writer, as long as they're not rude. And generally they're not. They're either all business or very polite. It's very rare to find a rude, ticket writer. And, I think it's a good thing, you know, they're, you know, as many people in Vegas, they work off tips. That's a big part of their income. So throwing a few dollars their way while I'm in Vegas, isn't, you know, it's part of the expense line, I guess, when I go.
Yeah, definitely. Part of the Vegas experience, right? Throwing a couple bucks at the dealer or the ticket writer and hoping for some good karma on your way back.
That's right. Absolutely.
So what about this game, Tom? I think that's why a lot of people are listening. They want your insight for, you know, this the big game. I don't know if I'm legally allowed to say Super Bowl, but I'll
I think so. Let them come after you. I'll I'll pitch in with legal fees.
You'll guarantee it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll probably need a few drink tickets.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I mean, for me, a novice better. I mean, so many eyes are on this game. I always wonder, how easy is it to find kind of a good line? Or is this kind of like a crapshoot? You know, I think I listen to other podcasts, and not to name names, but there's some that, you know, they seem to only bet some, you know, Armenian soccer game that's played in somebody's backyard because they've got an edge. I feel like, I never have an edge in sports betting, but I feel like if there's ever a game where I'm not going to have one, it's the Super Bowl, because I feel like the lines are pretty justified. Now I'm wondering, is this a game where serious sports bettors are betting because they're finding some of these nuggets, or is this a game that people are betting on because it's just, you know, it's fun? Or is it a little bit of both?
It's probably a little bit of both, but I think it's more just the public betting this game. You know, you're going to read about, or see on Twitter or social media, you know, $500,000 bets on this team, or someone laying, you know, 800K on another. I just kind of don't really look at that. I mean, it's interesting, but as far as the Super Bowl goes, there's just so much money coming in that the sports books are not going to expose themselves in a way that's going to hammer them, just because of the sheer volume of money coming in. And the sports books say, well, even if most of them take a hit on the actual point spread, the result of the game, they make so much money on the future bets and the props that, you know, they're still going to be okay. So as far as the Super Bowl goes, you know, read as much as you can, but really come to your own determination. Don't get swayed by line moves or anything like that. Many times you have to do that in sports betting. You keep an eye on some big bets, or if the line's moving, or, you know, the sports book's moving the line a certain direction, means something's happening. But as far as the Super Bowl goes, you'll notice that the line will not move much. They may mess with the juice a little bit just because of the volume of money, but for all intents and purposes, this is just this is the biggest public game that you'll ever see every year in any sport.
And I know that you have. I mean, you're always going to have your eyes on things. You had a really interesting tweet earlier this week about the Mahomes. I think it was the rushing line,
right?
Where you saw like some. It was like an inconsistency there. Is that kind of the stuff that you're looking for to kind of jump on, you know, if there is an opportunity in this game?
Yeah, after bidding props for many years, you get to see certain patterns that arise. And more often than not, you'll have a running quarterback. Not that you have a running quarterback in the Super Bowl every year, but, you know, lately you've had Russell Wilson, which more people than not would consider a running quarterback. You've had Patrick Mahomes last year and this year. You know, last year Patrick Mahomes went under because he downed the ball at the end of the game, and those minus yards came under because he was over. So that wasn't following the pattern. But I found that betting the under on those has typically been a good way to go. I've hit several times on that. Russell Wilson was a big one. The other one that kind of is in the same category is. This is going to seem strange, but again, when you're looking at these things, you come up with your own nuggets that you find, and that's what makes it fun. Is older players, especially linebackers that have a name. Ray Lewis, for example, was one a few years ago before he retired. Well, a lot of years ago, his total tackles in the game were pretty high. I bet under on that. It hit. I've done it a lot in the last few years. Older linebackers in the Super Bowl tend to have the numbers inflated a little bit. And maybe that's just because of their name. It's like this year, for example, Tampa Bay, Levante David, he's well over 30 years old. His total tackles are at 6.5. I'm going to go under on that. And that's typically I found that the name is what people bet a lot. Like with the Mahomes example, you know, he was up to 30.5. He hadn't even sniffed anything close to that in the last 8 or 9 games. With the bad toe, the concussion, and just the speed of Tampa Bay's defense, I don't know if Mahomes will run around. Could he bust one for 20, 30 yards? It's certainly possible. Mm-hmm. But I'd be more inclined to bet under and let him try to grind out those yards to get there. There's nuggets you find when you're looking at props. And there's things that you start learning every year to focus on a little bit to see if the number's right.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like, well, you've got that kind of recognition bias, right, with those big names. But I think what you're describing right now is a, you know, a pretty simple approach that people can have, you know, where you have this kind of hunch and then you just do a little bit of digging into, you know, is this a pattern? Is this something that, you know, makes sense for me to kind of continue betting? Is there something there? And if not, you know, oh, well, you know, you spent a little time on it, but you're kind of honing in a particular style, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many prop bets that if you find yourself making 3, 4, 5 prop bets, trust me, that's going to keep you plenty busy during the game, right. Other than the score. I mean, there's some people that bet like 20 props, and I mean, and that's great, but that's not really something I like to do, because then you're on NFL.com after trying to figure out if, you know, that last field goal was 33 yards or 34 and things like that. So if you zero in on a couple of juicy ones that you really feel good about, it's a really fun way to watch the Super Bowl and, you know, hopefully make some money too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, there's I remember times watching a game going, I don't know if that's good or bad for me or not. And that's probably not a good thing that I don't know at this point.
Yeah, well, and it happens when you bet, you know, especially when you're betting a ton of props. And a lot of people do it, and that's great. I nothing against that. I've just found that it's a little more enjoyable if I, you know, zero down on 3, 4, 5 really big props and you know, swing for the fences on those.
Yeah. So we had a question in the show channel here. And okay. You know, the very popular bet is the you know, the coin flip, right? So Mississippi Rob said he's got insider info on Tails Never Fails. Is that something you stay away from, or do you hammer that Tails line every year?
Yeah. Well, I think Circa just tweeted, and maybe that's where he got it. I don't know. Or he was ahead of it. Maybe he knows something. But they just, I think they made Tails a favorite by, you know, we were talking about the money line earlier. Mm-hmm. I think you have a slight advantage on heads or tails. They made one more friendly to the better than the other one, basically saying they had some sharp money coming in on tails or something like that, which, you know, which is silly. You know, no, I don't in that bet. I don't do it. Although I will say, although unfortunately, you know, this year I won't be in Vegas because of the circumstances with COVID and everything. When I've been in Vegas, it's just great before kickoff when you're in one of those big Super Bowl parties. Mm-hmm. And the coin flip's going, and whether it's heads or tails, people just go nuts. And it's just hilarious because you see people bury their head in their hands, and I'm just thinking to myself, dude, I hope you just bet $10 on that and you didn't, like, you know, throw $100, $200. But hey, you know what? To each their own. Some people love it. They like that. And if they're having fun, more power to them.
Hey, I mean, that's the Vegas experience, right? Betting a lot of money on an essential coin flip. That's pretty much everywhere you go, right?
We just, you know, when it all comes down to it in sports betting too, it's really a coin flip.
We're just dressing it up a little bit with funky rules, but I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Funky rules and you know, yeah, stats and all kinds of other stuff. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's you're looking at a coin flip more often than not.
Yeah. Funky rules and faulty math is basically my approach to Vegas gambling there.
I think that's a great way of putting it.
So if you were going to Vegas in a normal year, where do you like to spend? What are some of the good parties? I mean, I feel like Circa is jumping to the top for a lot of people. It seems like the place to be, but I know that you've got a lot of experience in different sports books. Are there any hidden gems out there, places you like to go to watch the game?
Well, when it comes to Super Bowl, last several years, I mean, I've been all over the place for Super Bowl. Majority has been at the Westgate Superbook. That's kind of was the biggest sports book before Circa, but it's kind of the old school spot. I still really like it there. I stay there sometimes. The rooms are reasonable, and it's just buzzing during Super Bowl time. I've been to their big party that they've had there. It's a giant banquet room, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I've been downtown. I remember one year I did the Plaza, which was a lot of fun as well. You really can't go wrong. I know Circa has some cool stuff going on. You know, I'm going to call Circa the win of downtown because it's not for the budget conscious, to be honest. But you know, it does, there is value there if you want to spend the extra buck, because it is a very beautiful spot with, you know, the stadium swim outside and their big sports book. and everything they're doing. I just saw the announcer March Madness stuff too, which looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But most Super Bowl parties, you know, they're all you can eat, all you can drink. So the people watching is pretty interesting as well. When you have booze flowing for several hours, you really can't go wrong. But for me, the Westgate is still one that I seem to gravitate to every year. But every now and then I'll change it up a little bit and check some other places out.
I mean, the Westgate's kind of the gold standard, right, with the Superbook there?
I would say so. It still is. You know, the Circa's kind of like, I don't know, well, how would you say it? It's like Jerry World in Dallas, and the Superbook's like Lambeau Field. You know, it's a legendary one. So, I still will gravitate to Westgate a little bit, especially if you're budget conscious. It's just a little easier on the wallet. You know, in terms of rooms and what their parties cost and things like that. But there's a lot of places in town that you can look at for Super Bowl parties. There's you know, not necessarily casinos that host, but certain eateries in town that are in casinos and things mm-hmm. like that. A number of them that all seem to be fun from what I can tell, or other people that have attended.
Yeah. Well, let's say Super Bowl aside, right? Let's say that you're just in on, you know, what if you're watch college football, NFL, whatever. Are there any particular books that you like just because it is good for the budget conscious person? Maybe they're kind of free flowing with the drink tickets if you throw them a couple bucks. I imagine there's probably a couple hidden gems around town.
Yeah. Westgate, of course, we already talked about. You know, on the strip, Harrah's used to be great. Mm-hmm. But with William Hill taking over a lot of Caesars properties, sports books, the drink ticket deals have kind of gotten a little tighter. But there's still a lot of places. I've been to the Orleans. If you want to head out, outside or off the strip,
mm-hmm.
A very fun place, very generous with drink tickets. Their lines are pretty strong, pretty good. South Point's a great place as well. You know, all the South Point has to do is maybe upgrade their big screens a little bit, but other than that, that place is a lot of fun. It's kind of a mix of locals and tourists, but that place is a lot of fun. Drink tickets, the service there is really good, and just a really good vibe there as well. You know, you probably have to venture off strip for a lot of that stuff. You know, the sportsbooks themselves, all of them are great, but you know, during busy times, March Madness, NFL, college football, getting a seat at a sports book, especially if you're there with a few buddies, can be challenging. So the bigger places are good to check out, like the Mirage, the South Point, like I mentioned, the Westgate, and maybe some off-strip spots as well.
Hey, it's a great opportunity to just check out some off-strip stuff. You know, I mean, Taylor from New Mexico is in here in the listening right now. I can see his name.
Yeah.
But he loves the Orleans. You know, we can't get him to shut up about it, you know? I think you're right. It's a good opportunity to just try something new. And if you're watching the game, you're probably not going to be doing too much anyway. So it's not like, you know, you're going to be needing to jump from casino to casino. So it's a good chance to see something different.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because it's gotten me to other spots just because I wanted to check out the sports book. I'm kind of a geek about sports books, so mm-hmm. A lot of the times I've ventured out to places was not because they had 100 times odds on craps. It's because I wanted to check out their sports book and see how it was, and you'll discover some places really like. You know, I used to hit the Gold Coast up a lot. Not too much anymore. It's a little too smoky for my taste, but you know, that was a place too that was very generous with drink tickets, really good service. Something silly like the bathroom being just steps away from the book instead of like Planet Hollywood, you got to walk a country mile to go to the bathroom. And, I mean, that's very minor, but you know, for the overall experience, there's a lot of boxes to check off. So,
oh yeah,
there's definitely Something there for everybody. There's something out there for everyone.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fun to try new things, right? And just kind of find a spot you like. I mean, speaking of Taylor, I remember one football Sunday, he and I just kind of, you know, settled up at the really small book in the Cal. And it was nice, you know. It was kind of intimate, but, you know, plenty of good sight lines, and it was a lot of fun.
Was that pre-remodel or post-remodel?
It was post-remodel.
Okay, good. Yeah. No, it's a nice spot. That's mm-hmm. another one. The Downtown Grand. You'll always find a seat there.
Mm-hmm.
If places, if you're downtown and every place is crowded, that place is always very mellow. I mean, if you don't, you know, it's on an excitement level, You know, you don't have people yelling and going nuts, but I got free drink tickets there and found a comfy spot, and the screens were nice, and it was a really chill place to watch sports. So yeah, whatever you're in the mood in, there's something around for to suit your needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tom, I don't know if you heard, but there's a YouTuber who got his own kind of slot section named after him at the Plaza, and it's filled with his favorite slot machine. So I did not prep you for this at all, but I'm thinking, you know, if Sportsbook Tom was given an opportunity to have his, if you were having an opportunity to get your own sports book at a Vegas casino, I want to know what casino would you choose? And you were kind of talking about it just a second ago. What are kind of like the key things you want to be featured? I mean, I guess I'm gathering that you want a bathroom that's close, but I feel like you're going to have other fun. You'd want other fun things in there too. But what casino and are any couple features where you're like, you know, this is what would have to be in my sports book?
Let's see. Well, drink tickets shouldn't be limited, or they shouldn't say, you know, $500 minimum bet. It shouldn't be anything like that. You know, if you put down some bucks on a game, I wouldn't even have drink tickets. I'd go back to the old school way where the servers would come around. If you had your tickets out, you'd get a drink.
Perfect.
I think I like that a lot better. Just the screens don't have to be gigantic, but they have to be, you know, nice high def screens and just comfortable seating. You know, you mentioned Circa, and I don't want to poo poo on Circa because the place is beautiful. But you know, the middle section of that sports book is reserved for people that pay for those seats. And the other folks sit, I guess you can call it general admission, on each end, which is fine. Kind of like at a concert, you know, the seats on both ends are usually cheaper than the middle. But those seats are like our actual stadium seats. And they've crammed them in there a little bit. And they weren't that comfortable to me. And if I'm sitting there for 3 hours watching a game, I just want something I can kind of sink into a little bit.
Right.
So seats have to be ultra comfortable. That's the other thing. Just the service, just the friendliness. I think that just gives you a better experience. I mean, that's anywhere. You go out for a meal and the service sucks. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be Wolfgang Puck giving you something and it still may not be good enough just because the service sucked. So just friendly service, comfortable seating, good sight lines with nice screens. I think that's really all. And for the bladder for bladder folks like me, I'm not finding the right word for it, but people need to pee a lot. Having the bathroom close by is also a plus, or at least it's not, you know, not, you know, when I leave, it's tip off, and when I come back from the walk, it's the end of the first quarter type thing. Yeah, that it's so far away. So maybe those are a few things I'd say.
No, I like that. I do like that old school mentality, right? I remember, I feel like it was one of my early trips to Vegas, but seeing the Bally sports book. And I feel like even when I started going, it was a little bit past its prime. But they were still doing, I believe, to what you were talking about, where they were, you know, there were no tickets, right? They were just coming around, giving drinks, you know, if you were there and you were actively betting. And the place just felt good. It felt like a sports book to me. That was kind of like my first foray.
Yeah, and that's what you'd like to see. You know, the ones, the last holdouts on that were actually the Westgate and the Bellagio, if memory serves me right. Those were the last ones that had that that sportsbook experience, I guess you could say, where they just, you know, if you're there betting, you got a drink. But that's long gone, never to return, unfortunately. Hey, if I win the lotto here and invest in a hotel, maybe I can open up a small sports book or something like that and have that come back or something. But yeah, it just, you know, for me, you want good odds, you want all that stuff, but just a nice experience at the book, especially for people who, you know, don't get to Vegas that often. You know, it's nice to have that. And for me, it's a big part of the Vegas experience because I do spend a lot of time at the sportsbook when I visit.
Yeah. And I think for, you know, people who are new to gambling or a little bit budget conscious, I think placing a bet at the sportsbook can be a great way to kind of be your first foray, especially in some of these like really kind of high profile events, you know, whether it's a boxing match, it's a Super Bowl, March Madness, whatever. You know, it's really just fun to be a part of the action. You can do that for, you know, as cheaply as $10, $20. You can even go up to a kiosk if you don't feel comfortable, you know, going up to the counter or doing something like that, or just, you know, having it on your app and just kind of being a part of the action.
Absolutely. I think the sportsbook offers probably the best value, and I'm biased, in Vegas in terms of, you know, bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. You know, you sit down at a blackjack table where if you can find one that's minimum 10 bucks with 100 bucks, you have a small, you know, a bad run. Mm-hmm. You're done in 20 minutes, 15 minutes, if you're lucky. At the sportsbook, you got 100 bucks, you bet a couple games. You know, you got 3 hours of entertainment there, watching the outcome of a sporting event, and that money kind of goes a little further for you. So that goes the same for slots and everything else. For me anyway, the sportsbook offers a lot of value. And even if you're just a casual sports fan, I think it offers a lot of entertainment as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, there's something fun about, you know, no matter what happens throughout, you know, your gambling day, if you will, if you got a bet for a game later on in the evening, let's say you got your butt handed to you at the table. It's like, well, I got this kind of one outstanding bet that I'm hanging on to. And I've got something to kind of look forward to there.
You know, it's funny, back in the old days, that would be me a lot. I was a blackjack and craps player and did some sportsbook stuff too, obviously. But I kind of started realizing that my money was just going further, and I felt I had a better fighting chance at the sportsbook. And that's why I went there. It's funny you say that, because there was many a night where I say, okay, I still have a couple games going here in baseball, even though, you know, I got my rear end kicked on the craps table. Let's see if this baseball comes in. And you know, lots of times it would, and it's nice to get it back that way, instead of just chasing on a dice game or chasing on blackjack or whatever you're playing.
Yeah, definitely. So a couple questions to round out here. I want to ask you about your website name and how appropriate mm-hmm. it is, because I've known you for a few years now, Tom, but I don't know how likely you are to actually bet a parlay. I mean, your website's the Vegas Parlay, but are you actually a parlay better, or are you just having fun with the name there?
Fun with the name. I've become less of a parlay guy as time has gone on. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean I don't bet parlays, especially during baseball season. I'll bet some, but I don't bet many parlay plays anymore. It's a wheel of fortune, basically. You're mm-hmm. putting a buck down to try to hit the 40 or 50 to one on that wheel of fortune. Right. And it doesn't happen very much, but it is a fun chase, and you can create little lottery tickets for yourself. When I do a parlay, it's usually a long shot money line parlay where I think there's two big underdogs that have a chance at winning, and maybe I'll parlay them both. And like we mentioned at the top of the, top of our conversation here, those money lines, you know, create some value. And if you can parlay a couple of those together, and there's parlay calculators all over the web, you know, you can get a team that's plus 300, another team that's plus 270, and that's going to give you, you know, 15, 20 to one on a return. I don't know exactly for those numbers, but, you know, you can create a little, you know, miniature lotto ticket for yourself by doing that. And you do see some on social media that hit. So I you know, some people say, oh, don't bet parlays. Bet what's fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still do it on occasion. Back 30 years ago when I was in college and me and my friends would go out there, I can tell you how many times. I still remember one vividly where it was a 5-team football parlay. And this is funny because it's 30 years ago. We needed Clemson. And I'm sitting there in the Caesars Palace Sportsbook. It was a very, very tight spread. And the agony of that game was just where I didn't know about hedging or anything. And that's a whole different conversation. But I had hit four games. I had hit all four. Clemson was the last one I needed. And that's when Clemson was not that good. They were kind of a 500 college team. And sure enough, they lost by a touchdown. They didn't cover. And there it went. And that's when it started kind of hitting me. It's like, man, this parlay business is tough. It would have been great to hit, and it was a lot of fun, but that still sticks in my head that, you know, I had hit four out of five that day and should have had a big profit, but, you know, I got a big donut. It was nothing because of, you know, the parlay. It was a lot of fun, But it would have been a lot more fun just to bet everything straight and got out of there with a nice profit.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember those bets, right? It's amazing you remember it 30 years later and are still hanging on to it. Do you refuse to bet on Clemson anymore?
No, I've bet on them. You know, it's funny because I was the same way with the Seahawks for a similar reason. Until I bet them in the Super Bowl several years ago, and my friends had all known about it, and that kind of broke the curse when Russell Wilson won his first one. It was against Denver, if I'm not mistaken. So that broke it. But up to that point, I just would refuse to bet the Seahawks because it was a similar situation. it was a four-teamer, and Seahawks is all we needed. And they had a big lead going into half, and the Rams came back and just steamrolled them second half and got the win. And ever since then, I said I will never bet on the Seahawks again. And I did that Super Bowl, and it worked out. So, you sour on teams when they do that to you sometimes. Just psychologically, you just don't even want to put a red penny on them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I lived in Detroit for a while, right? So, I mean, I know about the Lions burning people. And yeah. I think that's that famous phrase, right? Bet Lions, not teams. I mean, I say that, but, you know, it doesn't mean I follow it all the time.
But nothing could be truer, though, Adam. Nothing could be truer. When you're looking at games, you know, bet Lions. College basketball, which I'm knee-deep into now, I am totally betting Lions. Mm-hmm. I don't look at teams. I have my favorites. I like, you know, being out on the West Coast. I follow some Big West Pac-12 teams. I'm a big Duke guy. I love Coach K, but it's just about looking at the underlying stats and looking at the point spread. Because really, you're trying to beat the sports book. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're betting like tonight, South Dakota and Omaha, I bet on that game. I'm not trying to beat Omaha. I'm trying to beat that number and trying to beat the sports book.
You know, I mean, this almost feels like a throwaway because it's kind of we're at the tail end of our conversation here. But I think that's a really important mm-hmm. distinction to make for people is to think of, I'm not, you know, for the Super Bowl, right? I'm not trying to beat, or whoever you're betting, right? Hypothetically, I'm not trying to beat Tampa Bay or, whoever. I'm trying to beat the line that the book is giving me. And I think that's really important. Sometimes I feel like that's a misconception in blackjack, right? Where people say, oh, the point is to get as close to 21 without going over. I go, well, no. Your goal is to actually beat the dealer.
Beat the dealer.
You know, that's the 21 is a rule, but it's not the goal.
Exactly.
I think that's a really important point here. And we got a comment in the chat, 27. He's talking about, you know, one thing that, not looking at lines too much when he's doing research, but he's really looking at like reports and matchups, like player stats and things like that. Is that something that you're doing as well? Like you're kind of looking at matchups ahead of time to determine if things are a good line, maybe especially on like player props and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it not as much in football, believe it or not, as I would in, let's say, college basketball. Mm. In football, one thing, and I'll share this nugget. If you're ever looking at a football game, and I learned this from having dinner with a gentleman who runs a sports book in Vegas and a lot of other, I guess they call them sharps. I certainly am not one, and I was very fortunate to have dinner with these guys. But the gentleman who's a VP of one of the sports books actually said that, you know, when you're looking at a line and you're just not sure and you want to bet the game, look at the head coach. In football, especially mm-hmm. NFL, yeah. Especially in NFL, more often than not, that's what's going to get you the advantage you need. And I've found that, you know, it's not 100%, but more often than not, that does hold true. So that's one thing I really look at in NFL, especially, is, you know, how that head coach has been doing this season and just the track record of the head coach. When in doubt, go with the better head coach.
Right, you don't want to bet on the coach that's making a lot of head scratching decisions, late in the game.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at Tampa or Green Bay, I should say,
right?
And he's considered, you know, a little under the radar, but their head coach is considered one of the rising young head coaches in the NFL. And I was just mystified at the stuff he was doing during their game versus Tampa. I couldn't believe some of the calls that were made. I'm not an NFL coach, but you know. It just goes to show that the experienced Bruce Arians, he's 60 something and he's had teams do very well. It it ended up being that, you know, the younger coach and the less experienced coach made some mistakes and cost them the game. So that's why in the Super Bowl, you know, when you have a guy like Andy Reid, and Bruce Arians is a great coach too, the Tampa Bay coach. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy Reid's won a Super Bowl. He took the Eagles to a Super Bowl, didn't win. The guy's got a ton of experience. He has a lot of weapons at his disposal. That's why, you know, me personally, I'm on the Chiefs. And that's one of the key reasons why. I trust in Andy Reid, and, you know, I think it's going to be a great game. But that's one thing I really look at closely.
Hey, I'm with you. So, you know, as always, Tom, I tell you. So, you know, I guess I gotta send you a receipt for, you know, any losing bets, right? I think that's how it works, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no, send them to me and I'll add them to the stack. There's plenty. There's
good.
Plenty. But it's all fun, and you know, just the key to this game: try to win more than you lose. Mm-hmm. Not easy, and easier said than done. But you know, if you put the time in, and you'll find a couple of whether it's college basketball, whether it's NFL, whether it's Major League Baseball, NBA, even hockey, you'll find something that you really have a good knack for over the other ones, and you know, you should do okay. It takes time; just takes a lot of time and patience.
Yeah, start developing a process, you know, take things slow, bet reasonably, and then when in doubt, just shoot me a message on Twitter, ask what I'm betting, and then just fade it, and you're probably going to make make millions.
That's the way to do it. Learn who to fade and learn who not to fade. But
right.
like you said, like we talked about several minutes ago, it's still a coin flip.
Yep. Well, Tom, thanks so much for joining us and you know, being open to do this, especially kind of on relatively short notice. But it's always fun talking to you and getting your insight on these things. I'm looking forward to the game. And are you going to have any picks on the site, or are you going to leave that one dark and just let the people do what they want?
No, you know what? Every year I put up the props that I like. I'll be doing that this year as well, probably middle of next week. Cool. As people have noticed, I basically am doing just the picks now on the site, but the daily picks. But no, I will put up a series of prop plays that I'm looking at. We'll be betting on, just so for people to look at and maybe follow or maybe laugh at, whatever they want to do. But I'll have them up there.
Tom, you do this weird thing, if I'm remembering correctly, is you actually put your record on your site. I feel like I don't see, you know, the touts online doing that. So, you know, you might want to rethink that strategy, you know, if you want to be kind of one of the big boys in the scene.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, you know, it keeps me honest and it keeps me sharp. I just can't sit there and throw some games out and hope that they do well, or just, you know, and there's a lot of really knowledgeable people out there. And there are some that, you know, really shouldn't be charging for picks.
Right.
I have no problem with someone finding value in somebody they trust that generally has a good opinion on games. If mm-hmm. you know they're paying a reasonable amount, but yeah, as far as I go, I put them up there. If I'm having a good run or bad run, my record is up there. You know, I don't put 6-1 in the last, you know, 7 Saturday games, or, you know, 4-0 in the last 8 picking ACC underdogs. But sometimes you see that on these tout pages, and that's cool. But, you know, I mean, they can be 10 wins, 30 losses, but they'll figure out a way to show that they're 7-1 on odd days on the calendar or something. You know?
Yeah,
so,
I'm 7-0 yeah. in the last 7 games that I won. Yeah, that's
exactly. So, yeah, no, I'll always put the record up there. Just because I want to, I mean, to be transparent, if I'm up there making picks and asking people, hey, go to the website, check out my plays, I can't hide. I'm going to put the records up. And, you know, once in a while, I'll make a little goof and forget a win or a loss. Trust me, if I forget a loss, I get a DM or I get someone tells me. It's like, hey, you forgot to put, you know, you took Missouri and that was a push. They didn't win. I go, oh, shoot, you know what? You're right. And that's how it works. So yeah, I'll always have that up there. And but it's always positive. You know, the people I've met on Twitter, some of them, like you said, you and Taylor hung out a little bit. I've had the pleasure of meeting people in Vegas, people I've met on Twitter, and it's just a lot of fun. And I've met some really, really nice folks. And it's more of, you know, just camaraderie in a mutual hobby that you have. And it continues to be a lot of fun for me. So I enjoy it.
Yeah, and we haven't met yet, Tom.
No, not in person.
No. So one of these Super Bowls, when you get your own, you know, when, you know, Circa or, you know, Westgate or whatever asks you to, you know, open up a little section in their sports book, that's when we'll go down and celebrate together.
You know what? If that happens, I'll fly you out. How's that?
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Tom. Appreciate it. I'm gonna be hanging out here in Discord for a little bit more, but you have a great night. Looking forward to seeing the picks, and I'll be sure to be rooting for you next Sunday.
I appreciate it, Adam. Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
And there you have it. Big thanks again to Tom, as always. Such a great guy, a great resource. You can find his work at thevegasparlay.com, and you can find him on Twitter at sportsbooktom. I also do want to express some very deep-seated appreciation for those who did hang out live with us. As always, it was really fun to see you guys. And yes, for those who are wondering, when I was referencing a podcaster or content creator who was betting on obscene backyard soccer games, I was, of course, referring to our friend Tim over at The Better Life. If you are interested in gambling, you want more gambling content, that show is another great outlet for you. Okay, that's going to do it for me. Best of luck on your bets this weekend. If we learn anything from this conversation, may your math not be faulty like mine usually is. Good luck, everyone.